all by yourself. This particular address is smaller than a speck of dust from where you sit this morning. But you're the one that caused the star to alight upon the manger on that day, in the place where your son is born, upon a manger. And Lord, that is your way. That which is little in the sight of many is what is, that which is little to most is precious in your sight. Lord, we've prayed severally this morning that you paraventure. Teach us this morning, Lord. Lord, please, this word that has survived kingdoms and enemies and emperors and times and seasons and epochs, Lord, open it to us. The way in which you fired up your people, fire our hearts up that we may see the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, your word says, who is sufficient to these things? Our sufficiency is of the Lord, who makes us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter which kills, but of the spirit that gives life. Father, no preparation could do your work, but you've been known to use the time of exhortation to prepare the life of your people. Lord, give to me, I pray, the grace to just do a bit of your work, the privilege to be used by you. Lord, give to your people the grace that falls upon your people in your mercy, in your joy, how you rejoice over your people. Please rejoice over us as a congregation this morning. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank the Lord for the grace to be gathered together in church again. Thank the Lord for loving us. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what your estate is this morning, we have a promise, and I don't know whether it excites you. Last week, we began to talk about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even a moment of introspection, we think about what the Bible speaks about, we will be amazed. If we spare the day, a few hours during the day, and just think about some of the statements in this Word of God, it should blow our minds up. I don't know what the condition of the heart is, but everybody that has their trust in Christ this morning is a heir to the kingdom of God. The heir to an everlasting kingdom. You have a piece of eternity, a piece of the New Jerusalem, your territory in heaven. By the kindness and the compassion and the mercy of the living God. The journey may be bumpy. Not that it may be, it's often is. But let's not ever lose sight that the Jesus that we have in our heart, the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the promises and the joy that it promises us. Often times we are discouraged because in all the troubles we are going through, the promises of God seem to fade away at some point. And it's tough to sustain faith in the midst of what some people call reality. But we're here to always remind ourselves about the love of God, about the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The great evangel, the message to everybody within the church is this, that behold, the love of the Lord God is upon you through his son Jesus Christ. It's the same message to paupers, to the rich, to the poor. Our paths in life differ. The path of the rich man and Lazarus differ. But the objective is that our destination should be at the throne of glory. Last week, we began to challenge ourselves about how often we think about the judgment day. And brothers and sisters, let's not be too familiar with God's word I mean, people take it this way, twist it another, but well, ultimately, this whole gospel is about that day when everybody will be gathered before the throne of glory to be judged. Think about it. That day, some people will hear, "Welcome home." On that day, which is the one that just makes my heart race, I imagine 5 seconds before it's your turn to stand before the great white throne, it will come. That 5 seconds will come. The world has been waiting for it for 10,000 years, but in the light of eternity, 10,000 years is like a second. Let the world wait for it for 10,000 years. You can only wait for it for 90, 80, 100 years if you have strength. But that day, there will be a second when the state of our souls will be judged by the words, the next words we will hear from the lips of the Master. I pray that none of us will hear that terrible word, "Get away from me." Because how do you fix that? What is the court of appeal? What is the redo? May we not be part of the generation that will go, "Lord, Lord, we sang in your presence, we prophesied in your name, we did marvelous works in your name, we were in church every Sunday, we are members, registered members of New Covenant Church International." You know, the way we carry about it, about this thing, is as if once we sang in his name, we prophesy in his name, we work miracles in his name, we are sure, because those people were really, truly amazed. They were expecting, "Well done." They had heard the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But they were missing something. Lazarus had a very rough ride, but I don't think he would switch his life for any right now. Is at the bosom of Abraham. I'm reminded often that we give, we dance, we sing, we because of this day, because we want to be approved of him in the day that he comes. I pray that as we are gathered here, all of us also will be gathered at the marriage feast of the Lamb in Jesus' name. That is the hope of the church. The Bible says that the kingdom of God, it's like a treasure hunter who went out hunting treasures. And then he found a particularly precious pearl. I want you to listen to this. He found a particularly precious pearl. He went back home, he sold everything he had, and he bought that pearl. That pearl is the precious relationship, the precious sanctification and justification by faith that we have in Christ our Redeemer. Everything, the storms may buffet you, your riding life may be rough, but please, that pearl, you must keep it. Keep your hope in the Lord. The Bible says that after you have suffered a bit, it's going to settle us. Let's keep reminding ourselves that Jesus will come. I mean, you can listen to whole sermons, go to church for 5 years these days, and never hear a compelling sermon about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear about building projects, this project, that project. We have become a projectized church. But you might never have heard a compelling sermon about what Jesus sees and the way. Mama Sojia Shigo. Thank you, man. I'll drink it. Are you ready for the Lord to come? There's still time. My mind is on prayers this morning, and I'd like us to read a few prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying that the Lord will speak to us. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 26. And I just want to read the interaction of the Lord with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his prayers in this garden. And as always, there's context to scriptures. You know, we've always said in this church that please do not read scriptures the way the herbalists read their, what is it? Read their whatever it is. Yeah. There's context. There's a story. There's a humanity. There's a lesson in every story in the Bible that applies directly to you. And oftentimes, because we read the Bible for the magic alone, not for the life lessons, we miss most of what the Bible has to teach us. That's why you find that the Bible is not mostly full of miracles. It's full of mundane decisions by human beings. And this one begat this, and this one begat this. If you're reading Matthew, you wonder, look, what is all of this begatting to me? And the Lord spoke mostly not by signs and wonders, but by parables, the same way our grandfathers taught us. I remember my maternal grandfather. He would call everybody in the car, or rather they would gather around him. I was very young. And I'll see the man would start telling stories. And at times the people he spoke to would be puzzled. And he would not interpret and say, come back tomorrow. So there's a lot in the stories, in the life, in the ordinary, in the things that the Lord Jesus did not say. There's a lot more in it than in the things that he did say. In the way he carried himself, in the way he conducted himself, when the Lord would stoop down and start writing on the floor while they were accusing that woman. To most people, the Lord just stooped and wrote. But in that little action, there's a lesson for his church. But now we're going to derive a lesson quickly from Gethsemane. I'll start reading from chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. But he took three people with him. 37. Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And the Lord your master began to be sorrowful, and he was deeply distressed. What's the state of your mind this morning? You know, we live in a generation where people who are afflicted have become outcasts. I mean, no, if you have faith, you're not supposed to be afflicted. But here was a savior. And I don't want of course it was sorrowful, it was alone. It's just fake sorrow. How can God be sorrowful? I mean, I would love to hear a Pentecostal preacher spin that one. No, it's not real sorrow. It's just, a countenance of sorrowfulness they will find words. No. The Lord was sad. He had besought his father several times. There was nothing coming. There were people coming at him with knives and stones and rocks. At this point, Christ had no solution to the problem he was facing. He had the hanging and teaching his disciples, and suddenly he felt lonely because he knew what was coming, and they were clueless. Are you here? And there's something in your heart. And you're cheery, and everybody is clueless. Has it ever happened to you? And go, I'm going to prayer meeting. Okay, I'm going inside. Okay, it's nice to meet you. Okay, so when will you people start going home now? He was sorrowful. I mean, I'm not going to beat that point. I'm just saying that, please, if you are heavy, if you are down on your luck, if you are sorrowful this morning, it's a Christian situation as well. Actually, it's a situation that is more common to Christians than unbelievers. Then you call some friends and say, come, let's go and pray about this problem. I don't think these other ones understand. You people stand at the gate. You, Peter, you, John, you, James, follow me. Then he told them in verse 38, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Guys, I'm not feeling it today. Guys, I'm sad. I am the Lord, the King of glory, but I'm afraid. I am afraid. You don't call friends when you are confident. You only call friends when you need people to hold your hands. Come and watch with me. You know the prayer when you go, look, I can no longer pray this one alone. Come with me. Then he went further, and what did the Lord do? What did the Lord do? Oh my goodness. I see Christians who claim to be talking to the living world, praying and sitting down. Yako matter now. Well, don't go into legalism, hey Joe. Who could doesn't matter the position? That's how they begin to preach legalism. I know what I'm talking about. When the prayer fires you, at times we don't really believe. Or that we don't believe. Maybe, you know, there are people who pray and they're already processing the options. But there comes situations where there are no more options. I say, if the King of glory fell on his face, what have you done about that thing that is keeping you perpetually sorrowful? Has it ever brought you to your face? Saying, it's not working, we've been praying. Well, you're praying and crossing your leg. Koti Kelara. And negotiating with the Lord. You know, I was saying something starting. I said, we learn more by watching Christ. There are a lot of things we miss in scriptures, dear brothers and sisters, because we only read the letter, what it says. We do not learn from his habits. We do not learn from... There are so many things to be learned from reading the things of Christ. The Lord came and he fell on his face. Can say, yeah, but the problem was big. He was about to be killed. Well, that was the Lord's problem. Big people, big problems. It's relativity. Your own, you're never going to be hung on a cross. So, what is it that makes you sorrowful? Fall on your face. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. I often find it very difficult to read a whole chapter. I think, Biola, you testify. It's just rushed. There's so much to learn. And the Father fell on his face, brothers. I mean, the Lord fell on his face. And prayed, he said, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. Nonetheless, not as I will, but as you will. Faith. Faith. Do you know it's going to be all right? Do you believe it? We're going to rejoice. We'll be like a royal diadem in the courts of our Lord and our Master. No matter the storm. Some of the people that preceded us have their necks cut off. Some were laid and stripped apart from limb to limb. Some were Some were fed to lions. Some were disemboweled. It's going to be fine. And all the while, the loving Savior keeps saying to them, it is well. Everything we do as Christians, please let it always be from the platform, the mindset that it is well. Say to the righteous, it is well with them. This we pass, and the blessed hope of the Lord will return. So that's why Christ was able to say, I know it's going to be fine. It's really difficult now. Nonetheless, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. He did not do younger. If Jesus fell, if Jesus cried, if Jesus screamed, if Jesus was desperate, my brother and sister, where do you get your own strength? Oh, I've been praying for long, you're not answering me. I want us to skip. Of course, his friends slept off. The problem is when you expect friends to be with you and they're not. They sleep off. It's common. Because they're humans. But it's 41 that I want us to pay real good attention to. This was what he said to his friends. He said, what? Watch and pray. Why? For? But? Church. What does the scripture say here? Watch and pray. If not, you will do what? Fall into temptation. This is what I want to leave with us this morning. Let's skip back a bit. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 5. It said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogue in the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. All are shakara, they have already received their reward. But you, when you pray, I want you to shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and he who sits in secret will reward you. Don't use vain repetition, verse 7, because you are not going to be heard by how much you can speak. We cannot argue the Lord down, right? Let's go to 9. This is how I want you to pray. Our Father in heaven, let your name be hallowed. What's the first statement of prayer? Worship. Hallowed be thy name. The next two statements is why I came here. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are the two focal points. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord said, nonetheless, not my will, let your will be done. Here he says, when we pray, we say, let your kingdom come. The passion of the church should be the kingdom of the Lord. The preoccupation of a saint should not be your personal welfare. The preoccupation of a true believer should be that the world may do the will of the Father here on earth where we occupy until Jesus comes, the same way that this will is done in heaven. I'm going to close soon to tell you why. You see, religion is toxic, my brothers and sisters. 90% of what we call religion is not religion at all. If you are not careful, as orthodox as you are, you may not be in faith. Paul says, search yourself to know that you're really in faith. Religion and politics, but number one, religion, very toxic. If you are not a watchful and prayerful Christian, I can bet you, you left the highway of the Lord Jesus a long time ago, you just didn't notice. Should I give you an example? Okay, let me give you one. Do you know that for 900 years, the face of Christianity was the Catholic Church? Do you understand what I mean? For 900 years, when people said they were Christians, in the majority, what they meant was that they prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ through Mary. And I wonder, Lord, why did you allow this error? See, the well-intended people born into this. Do you know that since about 600 after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the vast portion of the Sahara is Islam? People that are more intelligent, many of them than you and I, were born into Islam, they truly believe that the way of Islam is the way of life. They are not devils. Some of them are relatives. Some of them are kind. So they all love their wives. They all love good deeds. They all do good things. But it's not been given to them to see the light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a vast portion of the world. But you can even say that's outside Christianity. Do you know that majority of what we practice as Christianity today may not square with scriptures? Watch and pray. Be diligent unto prayers. When the trumpet sounds, Christ said only a few. Are you watching every day? Are you watching? There's a crisis going on in Nigeria today about Daddy Freeze. And I just want to, I think Barabumi will touch on it more in depth. But I wanted to, because it's, Femi Edera brought it to my notice. As you know, he's wont to bring stuff like that, right? Everybody gets gingered up. Have you seen what this man is saying about the church? Have you seen what he's saying some truth, but I don't like the spirit in which he's saying it. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, I'm listening to it. And the more I listen to that man, the more I'm reminded of the story of Balak and Balaam. The story of the donkey that spoke to the prophet. For the last 40 years or so, we have the reemergence of holiness movement and Pentecostalism in the mid-19th century. Early 19th it began, but it spread. The fastest growing mode of Christianity today is what we call charismatic preaching. You know it. That was when church began franchised. You could register your own church. Initially, in the mid-19th century, you had missionaries flooding the landscape, building up schools and hospitals. Suddenly, the face of the church became a face of affluence. The church of our Lord that started in a manger. We are now a people known for our prosperity. We used to be a people known for our faith. Religion. We sang joyfully. We did all things in the name of the Lord, but not the things that God wants us to do in his name. So do you wonder why they'll say we built a church, we sang, we organized this, we prophesied, we did, and we'll say I never knew you because you departed from the plan a long time ago. Watch and pray. It really doesn't matter what we are on earth. What matters is what we shall be when Jesus comes. Are you going to be standing? So this man, Peter always makes fun of me that the time I preached about tithing, that everything went down. Well, Daddy Freeze is using exactly the same verses, and now it's broadcast. And I was wondering what kind of man is this man? The man does not pretend he's born again. He does not pretend he's spiritual. He does not. He makes no pretexts. And he articulates God's word to the T. He's articulated tithing better than any pastor I've ever had. Except maybe Barabumi. I mean, that's in elders meeting or not. Not in general. I don't think you've articulated 30 years. 20 years, Barabumi. We have trapped people in the name of the Lord, and all of us are enabling this. Well, thank God for New Covenant Church. That's just one topic. In which other way have you departed from the way of the Lord? Please, let's study the Word of God. There are people giving their fortunes who expect that by virtue of their giving, they will see the glory of the Lord. How horrible will he be on that day when he says, "You haven't listened to what I said. Get away from me." Whole congregation are persuaded that the welfare of their body is the welfare of their souls and spirit. Neglecting the story of Lazarus. Neglecting that their Savior came in a manger. Neglecting that the affairs of the spirit are quite different from the affairs of the flesh. Have faith in God, people of God. Have faith in God. So this man is shaking the foundation of lies. And for the first time, I've never seen church unite before. Right? We're always competing against one another normally. For the first time, I saw the church unite. You know, when they touch your pocket now, you'll be angry. This man has touched, and you know, someone like me, I'm going, hey, good. He's touched their pocket. He's exposed the lie of Satan, just as Martin Luther King exposed the lie of the papacy by the grace of God. Martin Luther exposed the lies of the papacy after 800 years. But you know what I fear, brethren, and this is where I will close. This is where I close. I want you to think. Please think about this as you go home. I commend you to God's word, but I want you to think. Please just think about this. Just think about this. Please, I'm trying to get your attention. God loves us, right? Do you know he allows millions of people to live under this lie? Until Luther or a Daddy Freeze comes up. What happens to all those people who have been sitting under false ministries and teachings all of these years and have died in it? If you have built your entire Christian faith on prosperity teaching and the magic of faith, I call it the magic because it's not in scriptures, what will happen to you when the trumpet sounds? And so many people have, the well-intended people, people like you, people have given their all, people have been to Bible prayer meetings, they've organized, they've given their lives, some people have ruined themselves financially. And God was watching. God is able to endure error. Should you not watch and pray? We have talked about tithing, we don't have that problem in this church. But could there be one that we have that we are not seeing? How will we see it? I commend you to God's word. Please don't argue with the Bible. We get into trouble once we begin to do what is expedient, not what is written. Do you understand what I mean? Ah, it's not realistic now. It must be this way. And that is why well-intended people go wrong. Because we do what is realistic. Whereas the righteous will walk by faith. The church is supposed to do what is impossible. That is why there's no distinction between the church and the world anymore. Because the world lives by expediency, and we're also living by expediency. What are the instructions for taking care of my children? Ah, in this time and age, I can't do that too. And then we change it. And it's okay initially, we get the result we want, but down the line, let me tell you, this corruption in the church did not start this way. I remember enough of when faith movement was heating up. It was a glorious movement. It was a renewer. We were coming off from the stale orthodoxy of the older churches. Those churches were lifeless. You will go and sleep off in their sermons. Some people even say you couldn't use instruments. So it was refreshing. These men that you look at and you go, oh, they are sharks. They weren't sharks. So some of these men were young, five people stood up in buses to preach in our cities. They took their cars to carry people. They are now in mega churches, but they didn't start that way. They were humble men. Read the story of Idahosa. From village to village, a man of faith, mighty in God. All of these people that you see, that you go, oh, they love money. They didn't start that. They were simple. They would put their button to the top, like me. Simple brothers, some of them born in royalty, but they changed and their friends hissed on them, spat on them. And now, we have a private jet. There was a time that they would suggest, insinuate a jet, insinuate a Mercedes-Benz, insinuate something to some of these men. And they say, my eyes are not on those things, Joe. But now somehow, between then and now, all of these things are okay. Beware. Least what you have, Satan takes it from you. Some of you sitting here don't know he has already taken it from you. If you are not a Christian that is watchful and prayerful, if your Bible is Sunday, you cannot play this game with Satan, my brothers. He wins all the time. He tried it with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to close, but he tried it with the Lord Jesus Christ. He used scriptures. Unless Christ had been careful, the Lord will go, I'm hungry. Well, it's already the 40th day. Let me break bread. Or we'll go, wow, I'll give you the glory of the world. That must be a better way to do ministry. The glory of the world was essentially saying is, Lord, I'll put you on TV. There wasn't TV then. But the equivalent, I'll put you on TV. I'll put you on a private jet. I'll enable your ministry. We have 3-6 fleets saying Jesus evangelical ministry. This gospel that you are planning will be spread in 40 years. In 4 years, the whole world will hear it. And then you can go and come. That was what he was offering to the Lord. But Christ was sober. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Rather, man shall live by what? Whoever you are. Brethren, whatever you do. Brethren, every day of your life. Brethren, whatever you suffer, whatever you enjoy, do not let Satan take the hope of seeing Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, you are the reason. Ultimately, I want to hear you come. Help me, Father, to be of a striving spirit. God, make me restless. Father, let me be a strange spirit in this world. God in heaven, give me courage. Give my brothers and sisters courage. God, let me know nothing except you. Father, we cannot do this. You have said that very few will see you on that day. Anything it takes so that all of our hours in church will not be wasted. Father, please do it. Lord, help us not to be afraid to be alone. God, let us not be resentful of truth. Father, make us wise and smart and sharp. Father, help us not to resent the name of Christ, our Redeemer. Give us the grace to join the right crew. Lord, our days are numbered. Father, please do everything. Take away our money if it's going to stop us from seeing you. Take away our glory if it's going to stop us from seeing you. Take away everything from us if it's going to stop us. Anything that will enable us, Father, please give to us. Help us to continue to be lovers of your word. God, help us not to find the story of Jesus Christ a Cain. Let it always be relevant. Let a fire of hope, let a faith in us remain alive. Lord, you have set this world free. You don't respect any man. You have no occasion to. We are only for a while. But bless us. Father, please bless us. Please bless us. Father, bless us to think right, to act right. I pray that none of us will be deceived. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.